The Old Testament reading is Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. And in these verses, Moses, the Lord through Moses, I should say, reminds the Israelites that their life is not based on bread alone or found in bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So let's hear the word of the Lord, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. And this is God's most holy and inerrant word. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Now turn to the New Testament, the Gospel of Luke, for our New Testament reading, and this is also the sermon text for this morning. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Luke 10, 38 through 42. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." May God bless his word to us today. If you are the parent of more than one child, I am sure that you have had the experience where one of your children says or does something that is so contrary to the temperament or the personality or the character of your other child or children that you marvel that these two human beings can possibly come from the same parents. How can these two people have the same genetic material and yet be so different from one another in the way that they're wired? And I'm sure that the parents of the sisters Martha and Mary must have had that experience, because what we know from the scriptures is that Mary and Martha were different. They handled things differently. And here, the two sisters respond in two opposite ways to a visit from Jesus to their home. Martha is the go-getter. She's the busy beaver. She throws herself into all the work and preparation that is necessary in order to host Jesus and whoever is traveling with him. Meanwhile, her sister Mary occupies herself in a far different way. She does not help out with the preparations. Rather, she sits at the Lord's feet and listens to his teaching. So you have two different responses, but the two are not equally commendable or praiseworthy. Jesus admonishes Martha for her anxious activity, and he commends Mary for her quiet attendance on his teaching. And today we'll take a closer look at these two sisters, and we'll see why it was that Jesus praised Mary and not Martha. We'll see why Martha, not Mary, or Mary, not Martha, is the one who chose the good portion. First, let's look at Martha. We'll call her Busy Martha. This passage begins with Jesus entering a village. We know from John's Gospel that that village is Bethany. Bethany was just outside of Jerusalem, and in that village lived siblings, Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus. What a tremendous honor it was that the Lord chose their house to visit, that the Lord chose them as his friends to spend time with. And the fact that this was a great honor, a great privilege, was not lost on Martha. She was determined, having now Jesus come to her home, she was determined to be the best hostess she could possibly be. And so she immersed herself in all of the work that in her mind was necessary, that had to get done in order to provide a proper reception for such an esteemed guest. Now, there is much in Martha's attitude that is commendable. First of all, she welcomed Jesus. Martha is a true disciple. She is a follower of Jesus Christ. Unlike so many who already are opposed to Jesus and rejecting him, Martha welcomes him. She's a follower of Christ. She honored the Lord when he came to visit. Martha is a godly woman. She loved the Lord. Also, Martha desired to serve Christ. She wanted to serve him. And this is true of every disciple. Everyone who loves Christ will have a heart to serve Christ. And so this is commendable. We can praise Martha for her desire to serve the Lord Jesus. Her problem is not that she wanted to serve Christ, but as Luke puts it in verse 40, she was distracted with much serving. Martha got so caught up in all that she thought that she had to do that she became anxious and stressed out. The word distracted here can also mean overburdened. Martha became overwhelmed by all that she had to do. When I was in college, I used to wait tables. And if any of you have ever waited tables in a restaurant, you know that that can be a very stressful job. You might have four or five tables in your section. The dinner rush comes, the tables fill up. You've got all these people and all their needs, and you're trying to remember all of their demands. And we used to say when we were in the thick of things, when we had too many things to do that we could possibly keep track of, we used to say, "I'm in the weeds. Somebody help me out. I'm in the weeds." Well, Martha is in the weeds. She's got a million things to do. She's anxious, she's stressed out, and she's doing whatever she can to just provide this nice reception for Jesus. But Jesus describes her in this way. He says in verse 41, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things." In other words, Martha, your heart is not at peace. Your mind is not at ease. You are allowing all kinds of things to worry you, to give you anxiety, to distress you. And the word I want to use to describe Martha here is busyness. Busyness. It's important to see that Jesus did not admonish Martha because she was working hard. He did not admonish Martha because she was serving him. In fact, these are things that Jesus would praise. It is good for a disciple of Jesus to work hard, to be a servant. Rather, what Jesus admonishes Martha for is her frenetic activity, her anxious and restless busyness. You could put it this way. In her busyness, although Martha was ostensibly serving Jesus, she was too busy to sit still in the presence of Jesus. She was too busy to enjoy the Lord who came to visit. And because Martha was too busy for Jesus, Martha was too busy. And that is exactly our problem. In our busyness, we become too busy for Christ. We fill our days with so much activity. We have so many things to do. We take no time to stop, to rest, to sit at the feet of our Lord, and to take in his word. And at the same time, like Martha, we are distracted by our frenzied busyness. We are anxious, unsettled, restless, stressed out, impatient. And our hearts and minds are so filled with the worry and the care that of all that we think that we must do, we lose the capacity to dwell on the promises of God. We forget what it is to meditate on the Word of God. We fail to rejoice in the salvation of Christ. And instead, we're controlled by this unceasing, frantic activity that we impose upon ourselves. Now, why do we succumb to this spiritual plague of busyness? How do we get caught in this trap? Well, first of all, let me say this, that there are times and situations in the providence of God when you will experience tremendous demands on your time and attention, and there's not much you can do about it. I think of mothers with babies or young children. That is a situation in life that is just flat out stressful and busy and difficult. And of course, there are other times, again, in the providence of God, there are other seasons in life when He will throw at you more than you think you can handle. To times like that, when you are distracted from your devotion to Christ, that you have to remember that even if you are distracted from your devotion to Christ, Christ is never distracted from His devotion and His care for you. So even in seasons of extreme busyness, Christ is always there. But most of our busyness is self-imposed. Like Martha, most of our busyness, we bring it on ourselves. We have only ourselves to thank. And one reason is our own pride. I think, somehow, that the busier I am, that means the more important I am. And so I wear my busyness as a badge of honor. And so out in public, I'm furiously tapping on my phone to show everybody that I have emails to write, texts to respond to, that I'm a significant, important person. And when you ask me how I'm doing, I'll say, I'm busy. I'm so busy. I'm crazy busy. Which means to say, I matter. My life has significance and meaning because of my busyness. I can just imagine Martha making a show, frantically running to and fro, banging the dishes on the table. She's getting dinner ready, letting everybody know how busy and how important she is as she looks at Mary, who in her mind is sitting there doing nothing. Another reason we succumb to busyness is the fear of man. We cannot say no to any request or demand that's made on our time. So we think to ourselves, I can't let these people down. I can't say no to my friend. Maybe he won't like me anymore. But when we do that, what we effectively are doing is surrendering control of our time to others. We're letting others manage our time. And soon we become overwhelmed with busyness. Or maybe we're driven by a deeper fear. Maybe what we really fear is silence. Maybe we engage in this ceaseless, frenzied activity because the thought of being alone, silent, with nothing but my thoughts, frightens me. Why? Because in the silence, we can't avoid the difficult questions. Is there a sin I must repent of? Is there a tough decision I must make? Is there a relationship that I must seek to mend? The white noise of our busyness helps to drown out that small voice of conscience. And so we make ourselves busy to avoid the silence. Or we succumb to busyness simply because we fill up so many hours of the day with unnecessary distractions. I find it ironic that we live in a time and place where people seem to be complaining about how busy they are, where they don't have enough time, and yet also at the same time, people are spending hours strolling through their Facebook feed, strolling through Instagram, binge-watching Netflix. How can these things both be true? Well, when we are undisciplined and we give ourselves to the endless distractions available to us, of course we're going to find our lives extremely busy. But I believe for Martha, and I believe for most of us, most of the time, We fall into the trap of busyness mainly for this reason. We confuse busyness with faithfulness. You know, Martha was doing something that in itself was a good thing. She was serving Christ. And so often we get caught up and consumed with all of the things that in themselves are good that ought to be done. We tend to our families, we tend to our job, our church responsibilities, and we immerse ourselves in all the activity that is required of these things. And we tell ourselves that the true measure of my faithfulness is how busy I am tending to all of these things. And that's what Martha thought. She thought that she, not her sister Mary, was the truly faithful one. She was the one who was being faithful to Christ. Mary was just sitting there doing nothing. But Martha was serving. But notice her attitude. Her attitude betrays that her heart is in the wrong place. She's become resentful, self-righteous, and proud. And she complains to Jesus, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Lord, don't you see what's going on here? Don't you care what Mary's doing? She's abandoned me. Here I am slaving away, getting everything ready for your visit." And Mary's just sitting there. And then Martha does something that I think she probably regretted most of all whenever she looked back on this experience. And that is, she actually tells Jesus what he must do. She says to Jesus, "Tell her then to help me," as if she had any business at all telling the Lord Jesus Christ what he was supposed to do in that situation. But this is what Martha's busyness has done to her. She is anxious, restless, upset, and so far is she from enjoying the peaceful, life-giving presence of Christ that she only goes to Jesus in order to complain and to vent from the fullness or the bitterness that is in her heart. And because busyness will do the same thing to us, we need to hear the words that our Lord spoke to Martha. He says to her in verse 41 and 42, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her." It's Mary we need to follow. It's her example that is the example we need to take. So we need to look at Mary. We looked at busy Martha. Now let's look at listening Mary. The whole time Martha was caught up in all the work that she thought that she had to do for Jesus, Mary was sitting at the Lord's feet, listening to his teaching. It's a striking picture that Luke paints for us here because he uses this expression to sit at his feet. This was an expression that meant a disciple formally learning from his rabbi or his teacher. And what's remarkable about the way that Luke describes this is that this was something that was only available to men. Only men could be disciples. Only men could sit at the feet of their teacher and learn from them. But here is a reminder from Scripture that by faith in Jesus Christ, all who come to Jesus are his disciples. Men and women, adults and children, white and black. Jesus is the disciple, the Lord, the Savior of all who come to him by faith. And this is also a beautiful picture of discipleship because Mary is not active, or at least she's not busy active. But she's still, she's resting, she's listening. All her attention and focus is on Jesus. And she is taking in his teaching. The word for teaching here is literally word. She is listening to the word of Christ. She is fully immersed, she is absorbed, she is hearing the word of Christ. She is taken up by that word. She's in the presence, that refreshing and peace-giving presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we immerse ourselves in the Word of Christ? Well, it is the Word of God in the Scriptures. The Scriptures of the Old and the New Testaments, these are the words of Christ. And to sit at the feet of Jesus means to absorb ourselves with this Word, to immerse ourselves in the Scriptures. It also means to meditate on His Word. It also means to pray to God. It also means to worship God through Christ. In many places, Scripture tells us to stop our activity, to be still in the presence of God. Deuteronomy 8:3, I already read this passage. Man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. So often our work is rightly revolved around securing food for ourselves, provision. But that is not our life. Our spiritual life is fed by the Word of God. And so just as we seek to provide for our bodies, we also need to provide time for ourselves to take in the Word of God. And that means rest and quietness. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still and know that I am God. It is not in the frenzied activity of the day that we know that, but when we are still, we know that He is Lord. Isaiah 30, verse 15, "For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved, in quietness and in trust shall be your strength." We can only obey these teachings of Scripture when we repent of our busyness, when we come in stillness and rest to the feet of Jesus and listen to His Word. And so if you and I are to be faithful disciples of Christ, we must follow the example of Mary and not of Martha. An interesting historical note on this passage. In the early church, many commentators read this passage and they saw the point of this teaching to be the superiority of the contemplative life over the active life. In other words, here was a passage that was creating this ideal Christian existence, and that was one of contemplation, one of meditation, withdrawal. So it was a kind of passage that promoted, for example, what monks would later do, withdraw from the world and devote themselves all the time to meditating on the Word of God. But I don't think that's what the passage is teaching. The more biblical ideal is different than that. It's not withdrawal from all activity or involvement or service, but the biblical ideal is a life of activity and service that is grounded in, that is based upon a true knowledge of Christ, a true knowledge and communion of the Lord Jesus Christ, but that can only be had, that is only possible when a significant portion of our life is taken up with rest, with coming to the feet of Jesus, to learn from Him, of taking in His Word. And so it's not as though the Bible is saying an active life is better than a contemplative life, but what the Scripture is saying is that if we are to be truly effective in our service and activity and work, we must first come to the Lord Jesus in rest and quietness. So Mary wasn't lazy, but she knew that at that hour, the best thing for her to do was not to help Martha, but at that time, the best thing for Mary to do, the right thing for her to do, was exactly what she did, to sit at the feet of Jesus and to take in His Word, and to be in the presence of the life-giving Savior. She did the one thing necessary, and that is the most important activity for any disciple of Jesus, to be in His presence, to be immersed in His Word, and that's why Jesus commends her. He says she has chosen the good portion. There's a book that many of you may have read, some of you may have read. I have not read it myself, but I really like the title of it. It's called Having a Mary Heart in a Martha World. And that is really the challenge that is set before us by this portion of Scripture. How can I have a Mary heart in a world in which not only the world itself, but my own flesh propels me towards a life of ceaseless busyness and activity. How can I be more like Mary and less like Martha? Well, the first thing you must do is this. Remember that your life is hidden in Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3 says this. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. If your hope is in Jesus Christ, if you have come to Him as your Savior from sin and death, if He is your Redeemer and your Lord, then you have died to this world, and you are alive in Jesus Christ. And the Scripture says that your life is with Him. It is hidden with Him in the heavenly places. That's why it says, set your minds not on the things of earth, but on the things that are above. And so if your life is in Jesus Christ, if He is the source of your strength, your joy, your hope, if He is the one and the one only who can give you refreshment and renewal and strength, then you must go to Him to be filled with the life that He gives you. Your life is hidden in Jesus Christ. Here's how C.H. Spurgeon comments on this passage. He says, what I can do for Christ is little. I find that amazing that Spurgeon, of all people, would say, what I can do for Christ is little. He did so much as a minister. But he goes on to say this, what He did for me is so amazing, so matchless, so unspeakable, so glorious, that I ought to give that the major part of my attention. I may sometimes run with Mary to do what Christ, or run with Martha to do what Christ needs of me, but I think I should more frequently sit with Mary to receive from Christ what I need from Him. But with that in mind, secondly, you not only need to remember that your life is in Christ, hidden with Him, but you also need to realign your priorities. I began by saying that Martha and Mary were very different people. Although they were sisters, obviously they had different temperaments, different predispositions. And it seems that Martha was a person who was simply naturally given over to this kind of activity. You remember when Jesus in John chapter 11 comes to Bethany, John says, Martha went out to meet Jesus. Mary stayed at home. However, Jesus says here that Mary chose the good portion. This was a deliberate decision on the part of Mary. Mary wasn't just naturally being Mary, but she chose thoughtfully and deliberately what she would do. She chose the good portion to sit at the feet of Jesus. She made being in the presence of Christ a priority over every other use of her time at that moment. And if you are to be a disciple like Mary, to spend time in His presence, then you must do the same thing. You must make a priority. You must put it top on your list to spend time with Christ, which involves reading the Scripture, meditating on God's Word, praying, worshiping. You schedule these things just like you would schedule anything else that is important. C.S. Lewis once said something like this, only lazy people are busy. Think about that. Well, what did he mean by that? Well, what he meant was this, that it takes a deliberate effort and it takes deliberate forethought to schedule your time, to manage your time, so that you create time for that which is truly important. And if you don't do that, if you just live by default, you're going to end up being busy in the wrong sense of that word. And with that in mind, wouldn't it be wonderful if God had given us one day of the week where He commands us to rest, where he tells us explicitly to stop working and to rest in him and to be, to worship him, to be in his presence. Wouldn't it be wonderful if God gave us one day of the week and imposed that on us as a gift? Well, wait a minute, he did. It's the fourth commandment. God has given us one day that we can do exactly what Mary does here. To sit at the feet of our Lord Jesus, to take in his word, to pray to him, to worship him. And just as he has given this one day of the week for us to rest and worship, so he will also provide for you. He will take care of you when you make a priority of spending time with him throughout the week. He's going to take care of you. If you choose the good portion, like Mary did, you will be blessed. You will be blessed in doing that, just as Mary was blessed when she chose the good portion. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask that as we think over these words, as we consider our own lives in the light of what the Scriptures teach, Father, give us grace that we would make time to be still and know that you are Lord, to come into your presence, to learn how to repent of the busyness that so often we bring upon ourselves. Father, we pray that in quietness and rest, we would find strength, we would find joy. Not that we would become like monks, withdrawn from the world, but that we may be more effective servants of Jesus Christ. And so we pray, Father, that you would grow us in this way. We thank you for your word, and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.